So as you're sitting there, I want you to kind of imagine you're at the grocery store. You're walking through the produce department shopping for some fruit. And when you're getting your fruit, what fruits do you buy? If you're like normal people, most of us, well, some of us, you get apples, bananas, you get oranges, strawberries sometimes. But there are some fruits in the produce department that we often overlook. They're disrespected, I think, because some of us aren't even aware really that they're there. So by a show of hands, who goes out and shops for figs? Really? Not Fig Newtons. Fig Newtons, if they come in a plastic package, it doesn't count. When you shop for dates. You guys are such liars. I know you don't. You're just doing this to mess with me. I don't believe it for a minute. How about rhubarb? Who's under the mistaken impression that rhubarb is a vegetable? Science says it's a vegetable, but the U.S. government said in 1947 that it's a fruit. And if they can rename marriage to make it be whatever they want, they can rename a fruit to be whatever they want. So ignoring these people who are not being honest today, which is probably because they got up too early and all. So anyway, so there's fruits out there that don't really get much attention. Very rarely do we go out of our way to look for fruits like dates and figs. And as you're studying through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, I would say that the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about today, gentleness, tends to be like dates and figs and rhubarb. We don't really think about that. It tends to be the fruit that we might know it's on the list, but it's not one that we really, nobody sits down and prays for gentleness. It's not something we spend a lot of time thinking of. And we never use gentleness to describe ourselves. If you're filling out a resume and they ask for traits that would describe you, gentle isn't the one you put on the resume. Or when you go to an employer, or you go to a church pastor search committee, the interview never talks about gentleness. Nobody ever stands up. We want a gentle person. We put motivated, ambitious, driven, but not gentleness. Athletes don't win an award for gentleness. And if you're hiring an attorney, the last thing you want is a gentle attorney. You want the guy that's going to go out and kind of try and crush people. So gentleness tends to be something we look for. We don't really look for or desire in our lives. In fact, I looked at some research by George Barna. He has a lot of polls or, you know, surveys of Christians. And he listed 30 different characteristics in Scripture that are used to describe Christians. 1 through 30, and he had a group of people rank them. Well, number 30 on a group of 30 was gentleness. Why is that? Why isn't gentleness a fruit that we desire? I think we tend to associate gentleness with weakness. We think of a person who doesn't have what it takes to climb the ladder of success. We don't equate gentle with power and success. When we think of gentleness, we think of a person who doesn't have an aggressive personality. The aggressive personality is needed to win. When we hear gentleness, we think of a person who gets walked on or taken advantage of. Gentle people don't get the good parking spaces at the mall. Yet what we find in Scripture consistently is that this word of gentle or gentleness is used over and over to describe the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. It is used to describe a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, gentleness is translated from the Greek word proutus. And that word proutus is a word that could be translated a bunch of different ways. It could be gentleness, it could be meekness, sometimes humble of heart. In understanding this definition of this word originally, it's helpful not just to look at the definition, but also to see how it's pictured in Scripture. The book of Galatians and the whole New Testament was written in the Greek language, which is a very descriptive language. The nice thing about the Greeks was that when they wanted to develop a word, they don't just define it, but they also illustrate what it means. They give you a picture to go along with it. So when we're looking at the word proutus, there's an illustration. This is the visual picture that goes with it that helps us understand its meaning. And the picture is one of a horse, a powerful, healthy horse with reins, so a horse that's been tamed, and a person standing next to the horse holding the reins. That's the picture that goes with proutus, or gentleness. So a biblical definition for this word would be power and strength that is under control to the benefit of someone else. Power and strength that is under control to benefit someone else. The idea here is that we submit ourselves and our power and our strength over to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the reins of our strength and our power and our control, and He uses that to accomplish His purposes in our lives. That's the picture that we're looking at here. Now, there's another list in Galatians chapter 5 that also tells us something about this word gentleness. Because if you remember back 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, when we started this, we talked about Paul, this first list that Paul has. He talks about the acts of the sinful nature. The idea is that before we can grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we have to pull these weeds of the sinful nature. And one of the weeds of the sinful nature is the antonym of for proudness or gentleness. It's the opposite of it. It's translated in verse 20 of Galatians 5 as fits of rage. The New Living Translation calls it outbursts of anger. This is the opposite of the fruit that we're looking at today. Gentleness is your frustration and your aggravation and your anger under control. Fits of rage, outbursts of anger are your emotions, your frustration, and your aggravation, and you never know when it's going to boil over. You never know when it's going to lash out and hurt somebody close to you. So do you know some people like this that suffer from fits of anger who are the opposite of gentle? Let me give you some characteristics of this person. A person who doesn't have this fruit of gentleness in their life, they tend to be very defensive. You can say something to them, and you don't really mean anything by it, but they kind of take it as a personal attack. You say to your husband, "Do you mind checking on the kids?" And he says, "What's that supposed to mean? I check on the kids as much as you do." Or this person tends to be hypersensitive. So it's the coworker that's a little bit of a volcano. When something doesn't go their way or there's something that disrupts their day at work, they just explode. People keep their distance because of this, because they never know what's going to set him or her off. Or it's a mom or dad, and some of you grew up in houses like this, where one minute everything is fine, and the next minute mom's yelling, dad's shouting, and your home is really more of a minefield, where each step could cause this possible explosion, and you don't know where to go anymore. Another characteristic of this type of person is that they're passive aggressive. I was thinking I might have to explain this, but then I figured no. Everybody knows somebody who's passive aggressive in their life. In some ways, these are the most difficult people to deal with in your life, because they'll say very gently to your face, "Everything's fine. There's no problem." And you're sitting there and you just feel this sense of impending doom, because you know it's not all right. but they won't open up to you, and they won't tell you what's wrong. They just bottle it up. And then when you're not looking, they take and twist the tops off of the salt and pepper shakers and says, set them on there, so when you go to use salt and pepper, it dumps all over your food. And then they act like they have no idea. I read about this. I haven't experienced this. But these people speak gently to you, but then they work behind the scenes to release their anger and their frustration. And often the object of their anger and frustration is the people closest to them. The person who is not growing in gentleness tends to be constantly critical. So they're always frustrated with other people's perceived incompetence. You sit down with them to eat at a restaurant, and the waiter or waitress is never doing a good job. And they're always frustrated with how someone else is doing something, because clearly they could do it better. And they're just critical of everyone and everything. So let me ask you, is gentleness a fruit that needs to be growing in your life? Is it a fruit that you need to pay closer attention to? And if you say no, my guess is I could find some friends and family members who would say, yeah, you need to go buy some rhubarb. Because this is the fruit of the Spirit that is often overlooked and ignored. But it's an area that many of us, all of us, need to grow in. What I've discovered in studying this and in talking to people is they tend to think of gentleness as a personality trait. They tend to think of gentleness as something that's either hardwired into your DNA or it's not. They associate gentleness with genetics. So they say, look, it's not that I don't want to grow in gentleness, but you should see the family that I came from. We're all just kind of, you know, hot-headed people. So they tend to kind of write off this fruit of the Spirit as a personality trait, the personality trait that they don't have. Now you might wish they were a little bit more laid back and all, but they're not. But that isn't consistent with what the Bible would teach us when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. The truth is, you can use your genetics or you can use your nature as an explanation for whatever struggle you have in your life, but you cannot use that as an excuse to continue to sin. You can use it as an explanation for why you are the way you are. But that's not an excuse for you to continue in sinful behavior. If you look at Galatians 5, when Paul talks about these fits of rage, it's under the category of the what? The sinful nature. The Bible also calls it the natural self. But the Scripture says that we're to put to death our natural self. It's not okay to say, well, I'm just an aggressive personality. That's just a type A personality. I'm just very driven. I can't help it. It's just the way I am. Instead, you should say, I'm going to have to pay special attention to surrendering this area to the Holy Spirit. And as you do, no matter where you're starting at, the Holy Spirit will begin to grow gentleness in your life. This idea of keeping in step with the Spirit is this daily awareness of this need in yourself to grow and to change. And gentleness is not something you just turn on or turn off. It needs to be this step-by-step, gradual, progressive walk with the Spirit. And eventually, over time, it will begin to overflow in your life. Now, some are going to see more progress in this than others, but you'll still see progress. And though it feels unnatural now, it will eventually feel more and more natural. And one day you'll wake up and you'll go, wow, I can't believe I didn't rip their heads off when they made me mad. I can't believe I didn't throw something at my kid. How many of you watched the show Dancing with the Stars. Nobody? Really? How about you guys with the figs and the dates? I've never seen this show, okay? Well, I take that back. When Jerry Rice and Emmett Smith were on the show, football players, they showed clips of it on SportsCenter. Now, that really bothered me because it kind of violated the whole sanctity of SportsCenter. But, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, what you learn is that you have a celebrity come on the show, and most of these celebrities, they don't have any kind of background in dancing or anything like that. And it's really awkward for them to learn these steps. They have to pay special attention, and you see them when they're practicing, they're talking to themselves as they're moving so they can put their feet in the right place. Then after days and days of practicing this one dance for 6-8 hours worth of practice a day, for many of them, not all of them, but for many of them, their feet just start to do what they're supposed to do. There's this muscle memory that sets in. And while at first those steps were really awkward, and they're forced, and they're ugly, and with enough repetition and with enough intentionality, they become a lot more natural at it. This is how it is with keeping in step with the Spirit. When you became a Christian, things didn't just change overnight for you. Instead, you keep in step with the Spirit, and over time, walking in the Spirit and growing these fruits of the Spirit in your life, things like gentleness, they become the new natural in your life. One of the first things you'll see as you keep in step with the Spirit is that He begins to change who you are. Now, maybe now no one would describe you as gentle, but as you walk with the Spirit begins to make this fruit grow in your life, and it becomes the new natural, it becomes who you are. So when we keep in step with the Spirit, we grow in gentleness. And here's the next one. As we keep in step with the Spirit, He will control the words that we speak. We often think of gentleness as this physical touch and physical acts, but it has a lot to do with the words that come out of your mouth. And maybe not even the words that come out of your mouth, but the tone that's used to convey those words. But as you keep in step with the Spirit, He will control the words that you speak. When we think of anger and frustration and aggravation, we tend to think of, you often see it as how we talk. And typically, fits of rage show themselves in yelling and sarcasm and in criticism. But here's what's interesting. You'll find that there's this very consistent correlation, constant connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and how we talk and what we say. So you read over and over again, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, we read about something that they said, the words they spoke. Let me give you a couple of examples. Acts 2, verse 4 says, filled with the Holy Spirit, they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So the Holy Spirit empowers them to speak languages that they had never studied and didn't know. They're speaking these foreign languages. And for some of us, gentleness is a foreign language. Kindness, gentleness, encouragement. The language of gentleness is not a language that a lot of us learned at home. Your negative tongue is yelling and sarcasm and criticism. And the reason you've never heard this language is most likely because you weren't taught this language growing up. So no one ever spoke to you in this language. But the Bible would teach that as you surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit, He can speak this language through you. Look at Acts 4, verse 8. This is another example. It says, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says, he said to them, in verse 25 of that same chapter, it says of God, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant. Acts 4:31, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. These are just a few references that connect being filled with the Holy Spirit to the way you speak, the way you speak to one another. James 1:26, If you want to have a conviction party, this is the place to start. If anyone considers himself religious, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, but you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, you deceive yourself, and your religion is worthless. So here's what this means just really practically. The way you talk to the operator on the other end of the line, or the sales rep, or the insurance agent, or pick anybody to insert on the other end of the line, okay? The tone of voice that you speak with to your child or to your spouse, those all have a way of showing the truth about who has the reins of your strength and of your power. If you surrender them over to the Holy Spirit, especially. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter specifically talks about how gentleness needs to show itself in how Christians respond in defending their faith or defending a biblical belief that they have. He says in 1 Peter 3:15 that when you're defending your faith, you should do so with gentleness and respect. That could be a difficult thing for a lot of us. I mean, you're trying to stand up for truth, right? And you're trying to speak up for a biblical value that you really believe in. But too often we do it exactly like the world would do it. We sound a lot like the world. So you hear this on the radio and you hear it in how people respond to certain articles online where they give their opinion. And there's name-calling. And there's sarcasm, and there are raised voices, and you're doing more damage at those times than you are good. Scripture says that when you're defending your faith, you should defend your faith, but you do it with gentleness and respect. Philippians 4, verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Let your gentleness be evident to all. That kind of does away with the idea that gentleness is an option. There should be something about you, about each of us, that when the world sees us, they see power and strength under control. And that's a witness for Jesus Christ. Lee Strobel writes about how his gentleness impacted his family. He says, "My daughter Allison was 5 years old when I became a follower of Jesus. All she had known in those 5 years was a dad who was profane and angry. I came home one night and I kicked a hole in the living room wall, just out of anger with life. I'm ashamed to think of the times Allison hid in her room just to get away from the father who just kept yelling. Not at her, but just yelling in general. 5 months after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that little girl went to my wife and said, 'Mommy, I want God to do for me what he did for Daddy.'" That's age 5. Strobel writes, "Now what was she saying? She had never studied the archaeological evidence or the fulfillment of prophecies in Scripture. All she knew was that her dad used to be this way, hard to live with, but more and more her dad was becoming a different person. And if that's what God does for people, then sign her up." So your gentleness is a fruit that should attract people to Jesus Christ. Lastly, I want you to see this. When you keep in step with the Holy Spirit will begin to give you the eyes of Christ for other people in your life. You'll begin to see people through his eyes. Jesus really, really did live gentleness out. You just see it as you read through the Gospels. One day he's teaching and there are a lot of kids around and the disciples, they've lost, you know, they're frustrated and it's late and they're ready to go home. They want to get rid of these kids, so they start to shoo them away and Jesus says, "No, send the children over to me." Jesus saw people differently. He saw the value of people and was able to treat them gently, even when it doesn't seem like they really deserved it. I would just say that a great prayer for each one of us to learn and to practice is just this really simple one. Lord, help me to see people through your eyes. Just pray that prayer off and on during the day. When you know that you're going to be meeting with that draining employee or that draining coworker, when you know that you're going to be having lunch with this high-maintenance relative, just say, Lord, just let me see them the way you do. When you know that you're driving home from work and you're going to be coming home to a household of tired kids who've got a lot of homework and a spouse that has her own things or his own things going on, just pray that. Lord, let me see them as you do. And as you keep in step with the Spirit, he will change the way that you see people. It will surprise you that people who used to annoy you, you now can feel compassion for them. People who used to just frustrate you and you couldn't wait to get out of the room, you now respond to them with gentleness or understanding. That's the Holy Spirit growing the fruit of gentleness in your life. I want you to think for a moment how Jesus feels, how God feels when he looks down and he sees us treating his creation, each other, with carelessness, being clumsy with each other, not worried about breaking or bruising those around us. When he sees the fits of rage, the anger, the yelling, the shouting, the criticism, the calling of names, these are being directed to his valuable treasure, to his creation. The Bible says in Ephesians that when we ignore the Spirit in our life, that we have the power, we possess the power to grieve the Spirit. One translation says we make the Holy Spirit sad. So when you yell and you hurt a person's feelings, it's not just their feelings you hurt. You're hurting the feelings of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. When you anger and your frustration and your aggravation just lash out to the people around you, it's not just pain that you're bringing to them, but to the Spirit as well. So keep in step with the Spirit. And as you do, you'll see that over time you start to see people or see this label on different people in your life. And the label says fragile. Handle with care. The great news for you and me is that this is how Jesus sees us. He sees us as fragile. And so he deals with us tenderly. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus offers an invitation. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So if you're just weary and wounded in life, part of the walking half dead, if life has left you bruised and broken, if you have been dropped along the way, Jesus says, come to me, and he extends his arms. Would you pray with me? Heavenly gracious Father, we want to thank you for the examples that we find in Scripture of the type of people you want us to be. And we understand, or we should understand, that while those are things that you want us to be, it's not an easy journey getting there. And we stumble and we fall and sometimes we regress and take two or three steps backwards, but Lord, we just pray that you would help us to maintain our connection and to keep in touch with the Spirit and keep in step with him, that we can submit to you and that Spirit can transform our lives and transform the way we treat each other And we could be a good witness for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.